take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to find verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11. Once you find 1 Thessalonians 5:11, stand with me if you would please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11. And I'm going to read three or four verses here. And the Bible says this: "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." When the Bible there in verse number 14 speaks of supporting the weak, I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. I want to talk to us about strength and weakness this morning. And I would like to teach you how you can make yourself stronger. So as a pastor this morning, I'm going to give you some instruction. I want to support the weak. You thought that meant that I was going to hold you up. Now, certainly I'd like to, but you're going to have to learn how to hold you up. If I hold you up, then I won't be there next time. If I can teach you to hold you up, you can always get up and have the strength that you need. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon, please. Help me. Time is short. I pray, God, that we would get something from the sermon today that would strengthen us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Hey, what does it mean to be spiritually strong? What does that mean? Well, I think a spiritually strong person is someone who obeys. They do right because it is right to do. They do what is right, no matter what it costs them, because it is right to do. And that is what a spiritually strong person does. What does it mean to be spiritually weak? Well, a spiritually weak person is someone then who disobeys. A spiritually weak person then, they choose to do what they want to do rather than doing what is right to do or what God would want them to do. Oh, they may do right as long as it doesn't cost them much or very little, and they may do right if they get benefit from it. Now, remember, a strong person, they're going to do right because it's right to do. A weak person, there's a far less obedience in their life, and that kind of describes whether you're spiritually strong or spiritually weak. I have to tell you, our country is full of weak people. Our politicians are weak. I would be so disgusted if I had to hang around where the politicians are all the time. Whatever happened to doing what was right because it's right to do? Just do the right thing. Our country is full of weak people. I don't think we need weak fathers in our country. I don't think we need weak mothers. I think our country's full of weak leaders. I think there are weak preachers. I think there are weak Christians. And today I want to talk about that. Folks, did you know you're not as strong as what you think you are? You're as strong as your obedience to the Scripture and your obedience to right. There's some folks in here, you really think you're a powerful person. You're no more powerful than you are obedient to the Word of God and to Scripture. Isaiah 40:29 says, "He giveth power to the faint." Isaiah 41:10 says, "I am thy God, I will strengthen thee." Psalm 18, verse number 1 says, "O Lord, my strength." 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength." Now, folks, you're made strong by doing the things that strong people do. Or you will remain weak because you do the things that weak people do. Strength comes through obedience. Weakness comes through disobedience. I'm going to give you a few reasons for weakness today. They're simple. I'm going to expedite things the best I can, but listen real carefully. Why are we weak? Why are we weak? Well, number one, we're weak because we take on a load that is too heavy and we take it on too fast. Now, I have to tell you, this particular weakness is somewhat rare for people. But we become weak because we take on a heavy load and we take it on too fast. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Did you know something? Those of you that are newer Christians, God does not expect you to become overnight super Christian. You may not, as a younger Christian, you may not be able to achieve, accomplish, and do everything that an older Christian might. And I know that, and God knows that, and it might be good for you to know that. And remember this. This number one, my point number one, this thing of we are weak because we take on too heavy of a load, this is a rarity. It's not the norm that people take on too much for God too quick, but it does happen. Let me show you something. Brother Mike Owens, come up here for a second. I'm going to ask Brother Mike to help me. Will, come up here for a second. This is Will Stevens. Come over here, Will. And this is Mike Owens. Come over here, Mike. Sure. Will, pick Mike up. Okay, I understand. I would be asking a little bit too much out of Will, wouldn't I? Now, someday, Will could probably do it. But not right now. And if I ask Will to pick up Mike, I'm being unreasonable. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have Will really pick him up because Will could actually get hurt trying to pick him up. Okay, thank you. You guys did a great job. If you just got saved, you need to be careful how much you try to pick up for the Lord. I think you should read your Bible every day. Amen. But I think I'd be careful if you say, "Preacher, I heard you preach that sermon about the Word of God. I promise God I'm reading my Bible for 5 hours a day." Okay. Just so you know, that might not go real well. Now, I don't want you to fail. If I were you, I'd be careful setting myself up for failures by trying to lift too much weight too fast. I do think you ought to read your Bible. You know something? To those of you that are newer Christians, I can promise you, it'd be rare that anybody in this room read their Bible for 5 hours, even one day this year. But you know how excited we get sometimes we hear something that we ought to do and we're sincere and we'll say, I can do that. I can double that, triple that, quadruple that. And then if you're not careful though, you'll go to do it and then you'll fail and then you'll be discouraged. And you'll say, "Oh, phooey, I can't do it at all." See, I think sometimes if we take on too much, too quick, we overwhelm ourselves. Did you know that a first-time weightlifter does not bench press 300 pounds his first day out? You say, "Pastor, I heard you talk about prayer, and I decided I'm praying for 3 hours a day." Well, I'm glad you're sincere, and I'm glad you want to pray for 3 hours a day. I do have a little hunch that that might be a little much to get started. I'll tell you what happens. I'm just trying to be honest. People run headlong into it and say they're going to pray 3 hours a day and they didn't even make it through the first day. And then they get discouraged and say, "I can't do this." I wonder how many people said, "I'm going to read my Bible for 3 hours a day." And then they found out that it was far harder than what they thought. And then they just gave up altogether. The problem was not that you were reading your Bible. The problem is that you took on so much so fast and it overwhelmed you a little. I'm sure there are people in here that you really got ahead of yourself spiritually a little bit, and you bit off more than you could chew. If you're not careful, you fail, and then you want to give up. Hey, why don't you try, instead of saying, "I'm going to read 100 chapters in my Bible a day," why don't you read 3? I think you could do that. And instead of saying, "I pray for 3 hours a day," to me, it'd be good if I could get you to pray for 20 minutes to start. You know what? That'd be 3 chapters a day, 20 minutes a day. That That'd get you along. The very first time I promised God that I was going to pray all night. I was going to pray all night. Then I'm on my face and I'm praying. I'm a man of God. I'm going to pray all night. About 15 minutes in, I looked at the clock and I said, whoa. I've already prayed for everything I know to pray for. I'm going to have to repeat that. Let's see. I got about 8 or 10 more hours. Woo! Did you see Will try to pick up Mike? And everybody here physically would say that won't work. And I think sometimes when we're growing as Christians and we're younger in our Christian life, we try to pick up too much too quick. And then it discourages us. Matter of fact, it could even hurt us. Because we say, I can't do this. You can't do what a more seasoned Christian could, but you can do what a younger Christian could. So I'm just saying, be reasonable. I think a young Christian needs to be concerned about the things that they're being taught and the basics from the Bible. Hey, young Christian, do this. Obey what you know. Hey, oh, as a pastor, if I could just get everybody to do that. Amen, preacher? If you just obey what you know. Say, but preacher, what about all that other stuff? Don't you have your hands full with all the stuff you already know? Now, I want you to grow, but I'm trying to help you grow, and I think sometimes taking on too much too quick hurts us. Hey, everybody here, if you've been saved for 10 years or more, raise your hand real quick. Now put your hand down. Those of you that say, I couldn't raise my hand, I haven't been saved that long, let me tell you something. Every one of those people, it took them some time to get to the level of Christianity they're practicing now. They might not admit it to you, but they went through the same process you're going through. You liked it, you didn't like it. You liked it, you didn't like it. You came to church and said, boy, I like that preacher. And then you walked away and said, I don't like him. You tried. Here's what they did. They tried and they failed and they tried and they failed and they tried and they failed and they finally figured it out. Now, they're not going to admit that, but I'm going to admit that for them. And so what I'm trying to say to you is you might not be exactly like somebody that just raised their hand, but you need to be everything you can be for the Lord. You might not carry the same load they can carry. If we try to become too strong, too fast, it could tear down our strength. Did you know that someone who wants to be a marathon runner does not go out and run 27 miles the first day? Say, why? Well, they're quit. And before just a couple miles, they're going, I don't want to run a marathon. I don't want, matter of fact, I never want to run again. Hey, you stronger Christians, you need to remember what I'm teaching today because we need to help everybody grow. Not everybody's at the same level of growth. Hey, let's let the people that just got saved and some of the younger people, we let them grow a little at a time. Don't expect them overnight to be Arnold Schwarzeneggers because they're not going to be. There's a disease, I think it's called HGPS. It is a disease, and it's very rare. It's a genetic disease whereby a baby is born with it, and the baby grows too fast. In the nurses, anybody ever heard of it? It's rare. I think it's called progeria. Hutchinson's progeria. It's a disease, and a baby grows way too fast, and they're known to be being dead by the time they're 12 or 13 years old. Why? Their body is growing so fast that their metabolism, it just can't sustain it all. Did you know that God gave us a sample of a growth process? You have an infant, and it becomes a toddler, and then it becomes a child, and it becomes a preteen, and then a teen, and then a young adult, and a single young adult. There's a process. And look, if God would show that to you and I as we are growing physically, there is some growth process that takes place with people spiritually. And so, and remember, this problem that I'm talking about right now, it's a little bit rare. Now, I don't find an abundance of people saying, I'm reading my Bible 3 hours a day, and I'm praying 3 hours a day, and I'm giving 90% of my income to the Lord, and I'm going to go soul winning 4 hours a day. I don't find a lot of people that have that problem, but I do find it from time to time, and so it will make you weak if you don't handle it right. So we're weak because we take on a heavy load and too fast. Let me give you another reason we're weak. We're weak because our load is not heavy enough. Our load's not heavy enough. This one is far more common. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to this. You do not need big strength for little jobs. You only need heavy duty strength for heavy duty jobs. You can't become strong by taking on weakling jobs in life. Say, I want to be strong. Well, stop taking on all the weak, namby-pamby, weakling responsibilities. Many of you are weak Christians because you carry a weak Christian's load. You know, a weightlifter does not take a miracle pill that gives him strength for lifting weight. He does not get strength by lifting feathers. Brandon, come up here for a second. Come over here on this side, Brandon. Brandon, a curl is when you take your arm and you're doing this with your bicep. I'm going to give you a feather for your right hand and your left, and I'd like for you to do some curls for a moment. Take that. And just curl. Yeah, just keep it going there, Brandon. You okay? You need a spotter? Okay. All right. Are you tired? The heavy? Stressing you out? Is that going to make him strong? That's where some of you are in your Christianity. You never get any more involved than what you have to. You float on top. You wonder why you're not really a strong Christian. Now, you'd like to say that you are, but you are not as strong as what you say you are. You are as strong as you are obedient. Dylan, come up here. Now, Dylan, these are 10 pounds each. And you might want to get your finger in there because I don't want you to drop it on your foot. Okay, you got it? Do some curls. You doing okay? Y'all worried? You okay? You need a drink? Now, I got a feeling that is going to build him into something. That right there. In the Christian life, you don't become strong by lifting feathers. You pick up something that's bigger than you, and you work out with it, and you work into it, and you let it build you into something. Thank you, fellas. You guys did a good job. You tired? Okay. See, you don't get strength for lifting weights. You get strength by lifting weights. You say, as soon as I become a stronger Christian, I will begin to tithe. I will begin to do this right or do that right. No, you become strong by doing what's hard. You become strong that way. Hey, marathon runners don't show up at the track and hope for strength to run a marathon. He did not get strength for running. He gets strength from running. I'm going to apply this, and now it'll get uncomfortable for some of you. The illustrations that I use, the intent is not so much teaching the topic, it's teaching the concept. But there are many people in this room, you're weak in your Christian life because you make weak decisions. You say, Brother Owens, I'm weak in the area of rock music, and there's a lot of bad things about rock music. Well, let me tell you something. You say, I'm weak in the area of rock music. You know, the way to become strong then is to make some strong decisions. Walk the aisle, get on your knees, go to the altar, promise God you're going to quit. Tell others you're going to quit. Or stay weak. Can I tell you? Look up here, don't talk, and listen to me. I can remember when I was a young person trying to get away from the bad music. As long as I kept everything to myself, as long as I did the weak thing, I never could get away from it. I had to start doing the strong thing. So, but I'm not strong enough. I wasn't either, but I attempted the strong thing and it made me stronger. See, many people are weak Christians because they make weak Christian decisions. Strong Christians are not superpowers. They're people that do strong things. And they become strong because of doing the strong things. Remember, you can pump the feathers and be a weak, anemic, useless, unproductive Christian that's playing. You can pump the weights. Do the hard thing. Do the tough thing. You say, I'm weak. And listen, I think I'm going to use smoking. That'll ruin your health. It'll ruin your health. It'll ruin your body. And I think there are a lot of people who like to quit smoking. You say, I'm weak about smoking. I know I've helped a lot of people to kick the habit. But can I tell you something? There comes a point when they have to decide to do it. They have to do the hard thing. Hey, the way to become strong is to make strong decisions. Maybe you need to walk the aisle, get on your knees and say, God, I'm doing this. You say, but wonder if I fail. I would rather you try and fail than to not try and continue to do the weak thing. Brother Owens, I'm weak in regard to my church attendance. I'm weak. Well, the way to become strong is then to make some strong decisions. Decide you're going to fix it. Get on your knees and say, God, I need to fix this. Say to your husband, say to your wife, say to somebody, I need to fix this. I need to be faithful to church. But if you make weak decisions, you'll continue to be a weak Christian. Hey, and listen, let's take the hardships that we face in life. Do not say, God, take away this hardship. That's one of the worst things you could do. Why don't you say, God, make me strong from this hardship? If you're weak in your Christian life, it may be due to the fact that you carry too weak of a load. You can't get strong by carrying a light load. That is not the way it works physically. That is not the way it works spiritually. Some of you here, you need to go ahead and go all the way with God. You need to deny your flesh. You need to make yourself grow up spiritually. You need to push yourself to do the things that you spiritually don't like to do. Matter of fact, you don't want to do. Stop babying and pampering yourself spiritually and push yourself to do some things that are somewhat unpleasant to your flesh and unpleasant to you. I got to tell you. Every time I write my tithe check, I'm not doing cartwheels and saying, woohoo! Give them my money away! But I do what I'm supposed to do because it's right to do. And by the way, that has made me strong through the years, and I'm not in remorse when I write it. But you're in remorse when you write it because you're weak and you're not pushing yourself to do what you're supposed to do. The difference between weak Christians and strong Christians is the weak keep doing weak things. And the strong do strong things. It's a basic concept. So, we're weak because we take on too heavy of a load too quick. That's a bit of a rarity. Then we're weak because our load is not heavy enough. So we're not pushing ourselves. I love running. When I was in high school, I ran track, I ran cross country. And on the team on which I was running, I was the fastest runner. And I could always beat everybody on my team. I remember one day my coach said, Jeff, you're slouching. I said, Coach, there's nobody here that can beat me. He said, I think there's somebody here that can beat you. I said, well, who? He said, you. He said, I believe you can beat what you're doing. He said, you're letting them determine how hard you run. I need you to better you. He said, there is more inside you and you can do better. And as long, he said, I watch you all the time. You look back and they're 50 yards behind you cross country and you're fine and you coast and you win. He said, but I wasn't trying to teach you to beat them. I was trying to teach you to beat you. Now, he said, get with it and you improve you. I'm telling you all, folks, there are a lot of you in here. You could do a whole lot better, but you won't push yourself. You baby yourself. You pamper yourself. You have found a justification in staying right where you are, and you just keep pumping the feathers. Start pumping some weight. Take on some big things. Grow for God. Give up some things that would be tough. So, well, everybody else, I don't care what everybody else is doing. What do you need to do for God? I've got to hurry. Number three, I think we're weak because our load is the wrong load. I say, number one, we're weak because we take on too much too fast. Number two, I said we're weak because we don't take on enough and we pamper ourselves. And number three, we're weak because the load is the wrong load. In Psalm 73, verse number 26, the Bible says, God is the strength of my heart. Did you know a weightlifter may be able to deadlift 1,000 pounds? And you might say, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. I have a family member that can deadlift 1,000 pounds. It's doable. Oh, but it has to be the right 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds on a barbell is one thing. Lifting 1,000 pounds of these chairs here in our church, now you got a mess on your hands. Why? It's the wrong kind of weight. If I said to you, could you lift 1,000 pounds? And you said yes. And I said, okay, I have a car that weighs 1,000 pounds. Go pick it up. You say, how would I ever have the balance? How could I ever do that? You say, see, it's a wrong weight. It's the same amount, but it's the wrong one. Can I tell you what some of you are doing? You're spending your life carrying weights that you're not supposed to carry. You could carry that weight if it were the right weight. You say, what could you be talking about? Okay. For instance, the weight of your sin. Let me tell you what God said. If you're a born-again Christian, God said, you come confess your sin, I'll forgive you. Repent of that sin. And he said, we'll just forget about it. Can I tell you something that's real dangerous? Your sin is a weight. Your sin will weigh you down. When's the last time you came to the altar and confessed anything to God? You say, well, I do it at home in the privacy of my home. When was the last time at home you cried out to God and asked Him to forgive you of your sin? So you know what happens? The weight of your sin, it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up some more. And before long, you're being crushed under the weight. You say, I don't know if I can bear this. I don't know if I can cope with this. Why in the world are you carrying the weight of unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? You're going to crush yourself. So then I come along and say, boy, you ought to be out there winning souls and working on a bus ride. And you say, I can't take what I'm facing already. The problem is you've got the strength to do the good that you should do, but you got yourself weighed down with the bad that you shouldn't do. So now you don't have any strength to do what you could. So confess your sin and get yourself right and then go do something good and get the bad out, get the good in. Hey, God gave you your strength and energy to lift up the weights of good, not to carry the burden of bad. We carry the wrong load. You ever heard someone say, take your burden to the Lord? Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't try to carry a load you're not supposed to carry. There's some of you, let me teach you something about temptation. I'm going to be done. I've got to cut the sermon short, but I don't want to. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, you carry the wrong load of temptation. Whew. I do not understand Christians Why would you want to constantly put yourself in a position of temptation? He said, well, what else is there to do? Stay away from temptation. God said, lead us not into temptation. It didn't say lead us not into sin. I don't want to be tempted. Why? Because if I'm tempted, I would sin. In other words, if I could stay many steps away from temptation, I could stay even more steps away from sin. Let me teach you something about morality. Last two Wednesday nights, I have taught, preached, you call it what you want, on adultery and fornication. Some people say, it's so hard. How do you say no? Never put yourself in a situation where you have to say no. What is that? I am not tempting or placing myself in the position of temptation. Can I warn y'all? If you have a problem with the bottle, if you're drunk, you got yourself dried out, they're going to tell you, don't go in a bar. You say, well, I'm going to go in a bar and have a glass of milk. And you know what? You know what they'll tell you in Alcoholics Anonymous, which they're not near as smart as the Bible. They'll say, don't even have a glass of milk in the bar. Why? You're too close to the temptation. So what are you doing? You are weighing yourself down with the weight of temptation. And it's crushing you. It's winning, you're losing. So what do? Don't just run from sin. Run from the step before sin, which is the temptation for the sin. Let me give you a personal testimony. I think I'm the weakest person I know. I'm a very weak person. This is what I learned a long time ago about me. I cannot get up close to wrong without doing it. I'm weak. I know that. I know that about myself. So you know what I've done in my life? I've established many steps to keep me as far away from temptation as I can. You say, why? Because I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person, and I know if I get too close, I'll stumble. Some people say, oh, preacher, you're very separated. I mean, you stand for separation, and you stand for that. It's not because I'm strong. It's because I'm weak. You know something? I don't want to ever make a mistake with a woman that I'm not married to. You know, I have policies. I've never, since I've been married to my wife, I've never been in a car alone with another woman other than my wife or my daughter or my mother. If I wasn't married, if it wasn't my wife or my daughter, I didn't get in the car with them. You say, well, that's very dignified as a Christian. I'm not doing it because I'm a good Christian. I'm doing it because I know I'm a bad Christian. And I'm keeping me safe. And I know that's a little overwhelming for some of you, but here's your problem. You're saying, I wish I could win the battle. You're not winning the battle because you're putting too much weight on yourself by placing yourself in the position of temptation instead of separating from the temptation. That's one reason why we have some of the rules and standards we have here at our church. I don't want people falling into sin all the time. So what do? I get them a couple steps away. I even move them away from temptation. Why? It's easier. I can't take the weight of temptation. I'm not good at it. Now, you probably are. You're probably a good enough Christian that you can be tempted all the time and say no, no, no. You pull through it every time. I wouldn't. So I do the same thing. Hey, we're weak. Why are we weak? Sometimes we're weak because we take on too heavy of a load too fast. Sometimes we're weak because our load is not heavy enough. Sometimes we're weak because it's the wrong load. What do we mean by that? You're letting yourself get loaded down with unconfessed sin. Or you're letting yourself get loaded down with temptation when you can't handle temptation. But then fourthly, sometimes we're weak because we're not saved. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So, let me explain something. If you're not born again, you do not have the spiritual strength to have the spiritual victory one ought to have. Because strength comes through Him. You say, I've tried to live right, but I'm having a really hard time. Now, the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved.
So if you're saved and you're stumbling constantly, you need to get some help and get this thing straightened out. But the strength is available for you to be a victorious Christian. But if you're not saved, you can try all you want to live the Christian life. You will fail. Because many people try to live the Christian life without being a Christian, without being born again. And I will tell you this. I'll never forget, I first got into an old-fashioned church where the pastor wasn't afraid of his own shadow, and he wasn't afraid to stand up and tell the truth and preach the truth. He was preaching away, and he was talking about all these things you ought to do and all these things you ought not to do. And I said to myself, there ain't no way in the world I can do that. Is it not for me? And I tried some of those things, and I could go to church and on a Sunday say, well, I'm never going to do this again. And by Monday, I've already done it more times than I'd done the week before. I couldn't do it on my own. And then somebody told me, he said, if you get saved, the things that you could not conquer before salvation, you're going to get a dose of energy from salvation that is going to be incredible. I said, really? I said, okay. And I got saved. And you know what? It was true. The things that I could not do before salvation, there was an energy, matter of fact, even a desire and a passion to get them done after salvation. And I started succeeding. Oh, not perfectly, but it was far removed from where I was at when I had only my own energy. But salvation brought the energy of Jesus Christ into my life. And I could bear the load. The sermon today is called Supporting the Weak. I just wanted to give you something that would help you to carry the load of life. Too much too fast could hurt you. Not enough, it weakens you. Carrying the wrong load, mess you up. If you're not saved, everything I just taught really won't work for you until you get born again. If you are saved, everything I taught you works. It works. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question today is to you about salvation. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I do not know I'm born again. I do not know. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm born again. I will pray for you. God bless you. Who here would say, Pastor, I looked in my heart. I listened while you were preaching. There is a challenge in what you said today for me. I want to be strong. And there is, boy, I learned something today I'm going to apply to my life. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. I see what creates weakness. I'm going to take that and run with it. You gave me something today that could, it's going to make a difference in my Christian life. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Yeah, lots of hands. Hands everywhere. You may put your hands down. There's some of you, you make so many weak decisions. Stop making weak decisions. You become strong by lifting weights, not by lifting feathers. Now, some of you, you could be the one that runs too fast, too hard. You say, well, I tried to read my Bible a whole bunch, and I tried to pray a whole bunch, and I tried to do all that, and I just got discouraged. I failed. Hey, take it down a notch. Reading the Bible and praying is still good, and you need to start doing it again. Some of you, you felt like you failed, and you can't do it. No, you can do it. You just need to do it in such a way that you'll succeed. We're going to have an altar call. There's somebody in here, you need to walk the aisle. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody. You need to walk the aisle, come down here, get on your face and say, you know what, God, I'm going to do the strong thing. I'm making a decision. I'm giving this up. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to start doing this. I need to make strong decisions so I can become a strong Christian. I really believe there are sincere people sitting back waiting for God to energize you to help you do what you're supposed to do. And you know what God's doing? He's sitting back waiting for you to take the steps you need to take. Do the hard thing.